And it is a good day, everybody. It turned out to be a great day today, after all. It began kind of shitty for me, in a way, but actually turned out to be a wonderful day today. Congratulations to all of you out there who can bask in the glory of the hard work that you've done in exposing the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and managed to effectively getting PewDiePie, a fellow Swede, proud to say I'm a countryman of his today, to, of course, revoke the donation, the $50,000 that he, well, either, you know, intended to do, or we can try to kind of sort that out a little bit later here. But regardless, he pulled it back. He said, after looking into some things about this, he used the word charity, which, of course, is a very charitable word for this organization. He decided to pull it back. So wonderful news. Mad Lad did it again. And is this a troll? Does this guy does this intentionally? What's up with the little symbol on his little collar? I mean, there's a lot of questions we have about this, but regardless, let's just enjoy it for a little bit and kind of talk about this and break this down today, folks. So thank you for joining us. Either if you're tuning in a little bit later at redicemembers.com, special thanks to all our members. Of course, you make shows like this possible, so thank you to you guys. Or you might be tuning in live, of course, on YouTube or DLive or through redice.tv. It's great to have you all here. All right, so Adam Green is with us today to talk a little bit about this PewDiePie retracting the $50,000 donation to, and I think this is a very charitable little wording that they choose here on Twitter too, Jewish Anti-Hate Group, because of course it is a group that actually peddles in hate and targets people. We'll get into that. But Adam, great to have you back again. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I was worried about you this week. There was some bad Sweden news with Barbara Spector returning yes. and then PewDiePie donating to the ADL, but he seems to have totally redeemed himself. And this is even better than him just not saying anything at all, raising a lot of awareness.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's probably it is the best thing that could happen, to be honest about all this. First, people were shocked about this, and the pushback was well, I mean, it was enormous. It reached him on many different levels. I thought we could just kind of chronologically go through this here before we kind of speculate a little bit. And also, we're going to expose a little bit today what it is that the ADL actually is doing, why the pushback is so hard against this particular organization to potential newcomers out there. It's actually very important because they're the one organization that essentially single-handedly have managed to turn the YouTube platform into this heavily monstrosity that it is today with its censorious behavior and everything else. But essentially, I'm sure most of you saw it, but for those of you who missed it, let's take a look at that initial thing. This was actually removed. I checked the video today, and he had actually clipped it out of the original YouTube video when he announced the donation. So obviously he even tried to retroactively cover that up. But
you're saying he pulled the video down?
No, not the whole video, but that he clipped that portion of it, snipped it out in the YouTube with the little editor that they have there.
I didn't know you could do that. Wow.
Oh, that's a great tool, especially when you like have a long pre-stream or something like that, or like you show a live stream beginning soon. You can just cut that out. Check it out. It's under the editing or editor in the YouTube. Very helpful tool. So anyway, that's what he used.
Pretty crazy he did that. I'm surprised.
Yeah, so he did it. But here it is, folks, for those of you who missed it.
Also, big thanks to Honey for helping me celebrate this huge milestone of 100 million. Let's get in with the video. But as an additional celebration, I'm donating $50,000 to Anti-Defamation League, which is an organization that fights bigotry and prejudice in all its forms. Thank you, Honey, for sponsoring this video. Let's get on with the unboxing.
Can I get your review of that, Adam? the word choice there.
Yeah, I think it's so funny when I saw somebody take that little clip and then zoom in on his face at the end. And he even mentioned this in his, like, you know, his retraction video.
Yeah, we'll play that.
Conspiracies thought that he was blackmailed or extorted, and from the look on his face.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And yeah, he looks like he looks like someone is holding a dear ones of him hostage almost, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, he said it like his face did look shameful after he said it. And it was so brief, like it seemed forced.
Is it? I mean, I think PewDiePie is, I think he's genuine, to be honest. I think he's sincere. There could be a level of trolling here. We'll get into that. But I think for the most part, he's sincere. He does things, you know, it seemed planned in some regards, and in other cases, it doesn't. It's very hard to figure it out. But the fact that he looked so, as you say, so guilty or shameful right there, or that something was wrong, is like, did he feel the impact of the future wave of discontent that was going to be mauled in his general direction, or what?
He said he didn't know much about the ADL. That was his excuse.
Yep.
But you know, he had to have known that there would be a backlash for something like this, or maybe he didn't. And this really is just, you know, somebody recommended it, like you said, and then he's retracting and trying to do the right thing.
No. It's fine, but if you do Google images ADL or ADL logo, you don't get the old logo. You get the new rebranded one. What's up? Is there a sign in that? I use the old logo. I mean, not that it matters, but it's like, I don't know. It just felt like this kind of, I don't know. It's weird. First, I thought, well, he's in contact with them. He's like talked with them or something, right? He's communicating with them. He's, or even handed over the, or given the money already or something like that. Right. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's that. Right. So what happened, of course, was a massive outcry about this. Some people covered this portion as well, about his Twitter statement, misrepresenting headlines of me has led down a path of twists with the MSM for years now. Previously, it hasn't bothered me much. I know who I am. That's right, PewDiePie. But after the Christchurch travesty a few months ago, my own clash with MSM was manipulated as a tool for destruction. I'm not okay with the situation any longer, and I felt responsible to make changes. Making a donation to the ADL doesn't make sense to everyone, especially since they're outright spoken against me. I wanted to show publicly that I can move past it and move on. I think that's important. It's just... this just isn't my fight anymore. And what was it that made him cave then, do you think? The public pressure? What do you think he gave in?
Well, I give a lot of credit to you. I think you're the reason that he decided to change his mind. You're the Swede. You're a leading media person that's, you know, exposing the ADL. Mm-hmm. And you were tweeting up a storm, and a lot of people were retweeting. And not just you, but a lot of people in
media.
Anybody aware of the ADL. You know, put the pressure on him.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people that did speak out, from Tim Pool to the quartering, Luke Radowski. Everywhere I looked, almost I have just a couple of tweets on that too. We could show, but it was a lot of people. Yeah, here's some of them. I retweeted a couple of them. Paul Joseph Watson did some kind of milk toast, as you said, kind of in between comment. It was like, well, like the lunatics, what was it? Yeah, here it is. PewDiePie is in a difficult position. Violent nutcases have repeatedly tried to appropriate him, and the media gleefully jumped on it. I don't think that the ADL donation means he's being blackmailed or sold out of some claim. He just doesn't want to be associated with lunatics. And I said, like, well, ADL are the lunatics. You know, that's the terror group
people.
Here.
He was paying off the mobsters so that they'd leave him alone. It's like a protection racket.
Yeah, let me pull this up here. I can't believe I forgot to bring this tweet in. I have it as an image. Let me just pull this up here, ladies and gentlemen, because this is something you have to understand. In terms, there's no way that PewDiePie didn't understand the situation. Jonathan Greenblatt, the CEO of ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, personally announced that the severing of the ties between Disney and PewDiePie was a great thing. Thank you, Disney, for severing ties with PewDiePie, it says here. ADL commends Disney's decision to sever ties with PewDiePie following his posting of videos on YouTube containing swastikas. What the hell was that? Another anti-Semitic content, including an image of two men holding a sign saying death to all. Yeah, but that was a joke. It was a huge joke. That was exposed already, why he did that, and that it was actually pretty funny. This clearly crossed a line, but it's becoming all too commonplace on social media. In the past few months, we have seen a proliferation of similar anti-Semitic messages and memes on social media. PewDiePie is entitled to his brand of humor, but neither Disney or any other company has... Here's the free company, the free market line here. Doesn't have any obligation to support his wide dissemination of hate speech, Jonathan Greenblatt said. So he knows... Adam, about what the ADL did to him. That could have cost him millions.
I imagine he would.
Yeah, I mean, that could have cost him millions, actually, that contract, right?
Disney, yeah. And Greenblatt is such a thug and a mobster, gangster. anti-American, hates free speech. He's literally works for a foreign entity. ADL works so closely with Israel, and they were formed out of the B'nai B'rith. We'll get into some of their origins and background later on in the in the thing. But
exactly.
You can't cave in to the, what's the, you know, when you got, you can't negotiate with the terrorists. You can't pay them off. That, like E. Michael Jones said, they'll just want more and more, and they won't be satisfied anyway. So I'm glad he backed out.
Yeah, no, definitely. So yeah, as you said, I tweeted about this, and it was going down fairly well, but I tried to just catalog some of the things that they've done, and we'll go through some of these articles too, because it's important information. And I'm just so glad that it did reach PewDiePie, that this pressure, that's what I said at the beginning, like, hey, all of you guys out there can pride yourself on being part of the pushback, because what's happened now, of course, is you've turned a very bad situation into a tremendous opportunity to actually expose what this organization truly represents, and the fact that whatever wording they might be using, whatever claim that they put upon themselves as this moral upstanding organization, they are destroying people's lives. They are destroying businesses, they're destroying reputation, they smear people, they shut people down, they silence them, they censor, they create this environment of intimidation online and offline as well. I mean, this is a horrendous organization.
They're literally like a terrorist hate group. I mean, they cause terrorism, they inflict terrorism on people, and they're supremacist also. Greenblatt's got that little red bracelet on there, and that's basis for a lot of their supremacy.
The red is it the Kabbalah bracelet? Or
red Kabbalah bracelet. Yeah. Look at what the Chabad rabbis say about Kabbalah and the supremacy in there.
Yeah, I was not surprised. Ethan Klein, H3H3, he had a little spat as well. I think even with what's his name, Jeremy the Quartering there, about how you saw a lot of butthurt about the fact that. You know, when people started speaking out against ADL and saying, why is PewDiePie doing this? This is, you know, the ADL blackmail, I think, was trending, the hashtag and stuff like that, too, which was great, of course. But Ethan Klein was, of course, defending PewDiePie's decision to donate to the ADL for maybe ethnic in-group preference reasons. Who knows, right? But it's funny because now when he retracted, I didn't see the follow-up to that. But I'm sure he's, together with a lot of other people, incredibly butthurt, including calling people snowflakes. But... this one was one of the first things I saw this morning before I actually saw the video that PewDiePie did, where of course they would check, I guess they would check their bank records to see, well, did we get any $50,000 donation? Did it come in? No, let's release a statement right away. It turns out we actually haven't received the money. We have not heard from him. What is happening? Felix Schellberg, better known as PewDiePie, announced he will be donating it in videos to celebrate gaining 100 million followers. But the ADL reports that there's no sign of the 50,000. First, I thought, Adam, they just said that. He sent the money through, but then they just said that so that he would think, oh, shit, they didn't get it. I better send another $50,000.
that could be a trick. Who knows?
Something with the bank wire there, Goy. Send it again. All right.
It was really depressing, though, because he's the biggest YouTube channel online.
Yes.
And he's got so much influence. I was just talking to somebody the other day about how he has the power that if he just like had, you know, the right guest on to say some of the right things or started slowly exposing more and more truth, he could have such a huge effect. And the fact that he would betray all the other content creators and then side with the ADL was really discouraging.
Yeah, no, it's true, and that's why, you know, everyone was, of course, very happy when he announced this earlier today. Here's some of the headlines you saw, and they essentially had the same wording as well, that he pulled the pledge to a Jewish anti-hate group. But, of course, as we know, and as we'll get into talk about in detail, in many regards, they target and essentially smear and silence people who actually expose racial discrimination and hatred and bigotry and things like that, especially of course, those who defend people of European descent. That's one of the specialties of this organization and group. And they have literal lists on people, on groups, on independent media outlets. They did on not too long ago. We'll look in detail some of the names they put on there too. But I guess, Adam, for those who didn't actually see the announcement in the beginning of the video, let's just take a look at that and I can get your take on kind of his wording as well, because he's not vague, he's clear, but it's not kind of clear what made him, what type of information it was that led him to kind of make this decision. Anyway, here's the video, guys.
Stop! I just wanted to interrupt this video because I need to make an announcement. Did you guys see the video I made where I celebrated 100 million subscribers? It was a video I was really excited about. I talked about my journey from going to zero to 100 million subscribers. It did have a brand attachment to it, which maybe wasn't the most fitting place, but it was a cool product, so I thought it wouldn't matter. When we were planning the collaboration, we thought it would be nice to donate to a charity as a way to celebrate. I made the mistake of picking a charity that I was advised instead of picking a charity that I'm personally passionate about, which is 100% my fault. Usually when I pick a charity, I take my time. I find a charity that I'm really excited about and actually passionate to donate to. So when I uploaded the video talking about the charity, it was very brief and people could tell something was off. The whole internet just didn't believe it. Like, why is he donating to this charity? Look at his face. Full conspiracy mode. It was very interesting to watch that unfold. To be fair, I saw it as an opportunity to put an end to these alt-right claims that has been thrown against me. It wasn't to try and clear my name or save grace. If it was, I would have done it years ago. But after the Christchurch tragedy, I felt a responsibility to do something about it because it's no longer just about me. It affected other people in a way, and I'm not okay with that. I've struggled to figure out how to do that, but this was not the right way to go about it. I knew it wasn't perfect, but I also didn't know a lot of things that surfaced throughout this whole thing about the charity that doesn't fit at all. So I understand why people had concerns.
Yeah, exactly. Charity, that's it. And yeah, something surfaced. It doesn't fit at all. I mean, obviously, he read and saw most of, I would assume, what the allegations are. And probably the eloquent ones as well, not the just the like, you know, people are offering like a lot of proof, links, sources, lists, quotes, videos, clips of what this organization represents and why they're so dangerous to especially free speech, but internet freedom and also the idea of moving forward, being able to criticize powerful, influential people in our world and holding them accountable, because that's essentially what the ADL is helping to do. They're helping to shut down valid criticism of huge interest groups, organizations, and individuals that do hold power and sway, Adam.
Yeah, and it's interesting that he said that like somebody recommended it to him. I wonder was the advertiser that he did the sponsorship for, or
I think it was Ethan Klein. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He also talked about how he got a letter from Susan Wojcicki or Wojcicki, whatever her name is. Do you know how to pronounce her last name?
Wojcicki.
Wojcicki, yeah, Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to read the whole thing, and he only read the end. But I didn't like that, hearing that he's getting, you know, friendly conversations with her. But I guess as the top YouTuber, that's just going to be inevitable.
Yeah.
But also another thing he said is people could tell something was wrong. I said it briefly, and they could tell something was wrong. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Something was wrong. And again, I'm very curious to see what information he did actually come across. That would be that would be very interesting to see. Just quickly, Lou Duva in the Entropy chat, which of course is a way that we have to bypass YouTube's demonetization, because I'm sure that the ADL, I know that the ADL has put pressure on YouTube to take us off being able to be monetized on YouTube. Luckily, we still have our YouTube account. But anyway, Entropy Chat, check it out, guys. Link upstairs, right up there, or down in the description. It says, I appreciate your work, sir. Keep fighting the good fight. Much love to you and the family. Spencer, 2024. Thank you, Lou Duva. I appreciate that. Let's listen to the rest of what PewDiePie says here. No much more to go here for this one.
And these are things that I would have known myself if I had just taken my time. This whole thing was planned during my wedding and the honeymoon, and 100 million was coming up as well. So it was all very rushed. It really doesn't feel genuine for me to proceed with a donation at this point, and I instead wanted to actually do take my time, keep the intent that I had, but just doing it with the right charity and doing it properly. So I just wanted to make that clear. I'm sorry for all the confusion, and I'm sorry for messing this up. That's what I do.
All right. So, interesting. And again, it isn't a charity. That's not how you can look at it. It's I think you can do tax deductible donations to it, though, obviously, right? But it's not a charity. It's a smear targeting hate group that spends its time targeting people. But regardless, whatever he found out, whatever information he come across, I'm very happy. And of course, Adam, the biggest point is millions of people have now been exposed to the foulness of this organization, and again, that the biggest YouTuber in the world is not trusting the organization to make a donation to it. That is huge.
Right. And he didn't like give any details, but he said that like a lot of stuff surfaced, but like in implying negative things, that they don't deserve anybody's support and there's something wrong with them. So that's awesome. I hope there's going to be a lot of headlines talking about this whole controversy to really spread the awareness about the ADL. We really got to get them to register as a foreign lobby at the very minimum, get them away from all the social media companies that they're doing the censorship. Their whole objective is to protect Israel. They're from the ADL. They're all about Israel. They should have no, their bias should make it so they have nowhere near Silicon Valley free speech.
Yeah, that's right. I played a clip at the beginning. Let's play it again here.
With YouTube to have to get them.
Let me go back. Here
we go. We work with YouTube to have to get them to change their algorithms. We work with Facebook on trying to use a redirect method.
When you talk about globalists, another phrase used by right-wing extremists.
We work with Google on using AI to try to interrupt cyber hate before it happens.
Right. So, you know, they are working with all these groups, big tech companies, to shut down things that essentially they don't like. That's what it's about. It's about silencing voices, criticism that they don't like. And just because they call it hate doesn't legitimize it. It doesn't make it worthy of being censored. This is an outside group that's coming in. What do you think is the relationship on the back end? Because I was speculating there's probably might even be personal relationships on the back end of the Googles, the YouTubes, and the ADL that somehow they got their kind of foot in through the door. What do you think?
It could be relationships, or it could just be the fear. The ADL will smear you with all of their resources, anybody that doesn't go along with the narrative.
Yeah, that's true. That could very well be. There are some threats that they have posed. We'll look at one example a little bit later about a direct threat to the tourism of Iceland, which is just unbelievable when you look at it. And of course, this is how they deal with many other regards. I do believe that that's the reason why Red Ice and me and my wife personally have been thrown off of several financial services. I do believe that there's these kinds of pressure groups. Wells Fargo, Zelle, Venmo, PayPal, Coinbase, just to name a few. They want us homeless, starving, begging on the streets in a position where we can't feed our own children. That's the attitude of these people.
They don't want anybody to be able to sustain themselves and be supported by their audience that exposes what their criminal friends are doing.
That's correct. So this was one of the recent articles that was released by the ADL. And again, note the more recent, newer, updated logo up there. Again, I thought, I don't know, it's just a small detail, but I just thought it was interesting that PewDiePie somehow, because finding that ADL logo took me quite a while, like because it was down there in the bottom of like the search and stuff. So why did he use that one? I don't know. Anyway, despite YouTube policy update, anti-Semitic white supremacist channels remain. And one of the big channels right now that they are targeting the hardest is Rick Wiles' True News, which are doing some excellent work exposing Zionism and that political ideology and just how much it wreaks havoc, particularly in the Middle East, but frankly around the world at this stage. I know you sent me the link as well, and I think he was like, I'm not on there yet. What's going on?
I wish I was right up there next to True News, to be honest. So I'm a little disappointed in the ADL. I don't know what that's about. You made it on the list, though. So
I did make
congratulations.
Well, thank you. I did make it on the list. I don't think that it's not that they're not aware of your material. I think that you are so effective and so dangerous.
I don't want to say that. So are you. You're effective. So is True News and E. Michael Jones. Everybody's effective in their own way.
Yeah, but you hone in on it in a way which is like a bloodhound, or what do you call it? Like you get on the trail and then you just like you find that and just kind of hammer it and you show it. And it's with it's not like, I mean, of course you offer some opinions, but much of it is strictly from the horse's mouth. It's direct quotes, it's direct videos of what people say. In other words, it's not something that can be pinned on you using the excuse of hate speech to shut it down. Maybe they don't want to bring attention to you. I'm not sure, Adam, but regardless, you do excellent work, you know. So
thank you. Possibly I have done a number of videos exposing the ADL, so
yes.
I guess I'll just have to try a little harder.
Yeah. So anyway, they go through a bunch of them. We don't have to list them here. You've seen it. But essentially, it's they're creating hit lists. And then they do, I would assume, on the back end. And many of these channels have been removed. Many of them have been targeted. Many of them have been, if nothing else, demonetized. And what's the reasoning? Well, it's just because we say that it's hate speech and anti-Semitism. It's a description under each channel of the list, but there's no motivation. Doesn't say why. There's no reference. There's no sources. There's no direct footnotes and quotes of why it's bad or whatever. That's all they have, essentially. So in the wake of that, YouTube terminated more than 17,000 channels. They released a new, what they call a hateful content policy when that was implemented. I think it was over, let's see here, yes, 100,000 videos and more than 50, is that true? Doubling. This also includes doubling the removal of comments, more than 500 million comments. Adam, how about that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, as a YouTube, having a YouTube channel, there's a lot of crazy comments.
Well, there is, exactly. I, you know what, in some regards, I'm not saying that there aren't people that are having fun and intentionally want to kind of upset the apple cart a little bit and kind of provoke a little bit and stuff like that. And it, frankly, that's fine. Like, you know, what did the guy say? It was a meme that was going around. Like, just, you know, if you're offended online or whatever, just turn off the screen. just walk away. You know, it's like this. It's funny, but it's like that's kind of what it is. If there's no direct threats or whatever, like, what does it matter? But anyway, it says here too, and of course you are heavily suffering under the restrictions of the algorithm and stuff like that too, as most YouTubers are now, that are slightly controversial and raise things which they don't like. YouTube relies mostly on machine learning tools to help catch hateful videos. What does that even mean? Before they're widely available online, approximately 80% of those auto-flagged videos were removed before they received a single view in the second quarter of 2019, the blog post reads. And I know that you have had that happen to your videos. You upload them and they're just like removed immediately.
Right. That happened to my documentary that I had been promoting for months and months. I uploaded it and then before the premiere went live, it got put into limited state.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. So, okay, let's go through some of this here. Some other articles, of course, proving this idea that the ADL and YouTube entered into a partnership to fight abuse. The Anti-Defamation League announced Sunday, and this is back, what date is this here again? This is
2008.
2008. So that's how long. It's over a decade now that they've been working together. And of course, we've seen in that time how YouTube has transformed into a highly restricted platform. Publisher, I should say. It's not fair to call it a platform. It's a publisher. They decide, they set the key on what goes and what doesn't go. It says, in recent expansion into the world of YouTube, the online video sharing site, the US-based advocacy group, it's a nice way of saying it, has officially partnered with the digital media powerhouse in an effort to combat hate speech and other forms of abuse. As the largest video hub, YouTube relies primarily on its users to hunt down and delete inappropriate content or to ban abusive members. But yeah, so not much more to say about it. They're working together. Any comments on that, Adam?
Yeah, YouTube was only started in 2005. And then Google bought them in 2006, a year later, which that should have been antitrust violation. You can't have Google Video buying YouTube Video and then just having a complete monopoly. That's how we got to where we're at now.
Yeah.
And then the ADL got involved very early on.
Yeah, no, that's right. Absolutely. I think I showed some of the graphs on, did a couple of tweets about that. Google has actually bought up, which of course you guys know, owns YouTube. They're under the headline of Alphabet now. They acquired 270 companies over a two-decade period. It's just like some unbelievable, just swallowing up competitors and potential, startups that could threaten Google in the future and stuff like that. And now there has been they've opened an antitrust investigation. You heard about that, right? Over 50 attorney generals from different states were gathering at the Supreme Court the other day and announcing this. They're looking into search and advertisement right now, which is great.
Yeah, some of the companies too. Remember a few years ago, they bought up all the robot companies, and then they have an artificial intelligence division, life extension divisions. And and not to mention the phones, the monopoly that Apple and or duopoly that Apple and Google have on the phone operating systems.
Yeah, that's true. Unbelievable. So something I hope will actually come out of that, because that's a huge thing, and it could go into other areas as well. We know now it's been really, videos about this, the election meddling, the bias that they have, many, many things which they could be nailed on, which I hope that they will be. But again, other things like interference, just general, like just on censorship and dictating what information goes and ranks high up and stuff like that, because this is helping to destroy businesses and people's reputations and all this kind of stuff as well. So, yeah.
The documentary, The Creepy Line, about Google and their manipulation of search results and how much control they have is creepy, as in the title.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me reload this here so I can show this headline here again. ADL applauds Google and YouTube in expanding initiative to fight online hate. But it's been article after article after article about they're not doing enough. They need to censor more. They need to block these people. They need to do. And again, that's these hit lists, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why, of course, we need to point that out. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. That PewDiePie support giving financial resources, that's a lot of money, $50,000, it's a lot of money. Financial resources to a group which has been the primary one that's going after other YouTubers. In other words, it's a way for this big YouTuber to kick down in a way as well, right? And ensuring that the platform, the publisher, YouTube, remains restrictive in its capacity for people who want to express a different opinion or even chime in politically and voice their concerns about the shit.
It would be rewarding the bully for being a bully.
Yeah.
Saying, great job, here you go, here's some money, go bully some more. And, you know, when the Vox apocalypse happened, I did a video saying who's really behind it. It was all the ADL. Also, some of the people, the billionaires that funded this ADL lab that we're going to show here in a second, they're the founder of Craigslist. His name is Newmark. And he donates to Chabad. He also was very proud about his 100% Ashkenazi DNA test results. And also Omidyar, Pierre Omidyar, who is connected to PayPal. And I'm forgetting the other companies now, but another billionaire tied in with military and quasi-government stuff. And these are the people that are funding the ADL to do this Silicon Valley lab with the hate index.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. We'll look at that in just a moment here. Netflix TV on the Entropy chat says YouTube uses machine learning to process the audio on uploads plus runs it for naughty words and phrases to restrict delete videos. That's what they did to you, Adam. Henrik, get Sean Atwood on the show, please. I've never heard the name, actually. I'll look into that. Thank you, Netflix TV. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've heard of that, too, that they kind of run it through a filter to type out essentially what's being said in the video and then looking for certain keywords and stuff like that. I mean, again, their AI is... Google's AI is going to be primary. It's going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be the best artificial intelligence on the market. Why? Because they have Google's massive database of videos to learn and study from. I forget how many hours of videos uploaded every minute or whatever to the platform, but it's like, if you release an artificial intelligence in that environment to scan and track and do machine learning on like people's behavior, speech, and studying different patterns and shit. I mean, who knows what might come out at the end of that? And that might be the very AI that they're going to insert into some of these Boston Dynamic robots that they're purchasing and buying right now, you know?
On the Vox Apocalypse Day a couple months ago, they did put out a press release that they're like, we know that NGOs and these people are profiling and studying all of the user activity on YouTube. And then the Friends of Zion Museum's Mike Evans, he says that we're profiling every anti-Semitic tweet or video or comment and all this stuff. So they're all admitting that they're doing all of it. The Al Jazeera lobby documentary talked about how they're using the most advanced Israeli software on the market and working with the military and the government to track all of this stuff so that they can really just silence and shut down any criticism at all whatsoever.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Let's take a look at this here then. Britton Heller, the director at the ADL Center for Technology and Society, is going to introduce this online hate index to us. This was released last year in February.
Bell and the University of California at Berkeley's D-Lab have been working to develop a new approach to tackle online hate using the latest methods. The goal of the Online Hate Index is to help tech platforms better understand the growing amount of hate on social media and to use that information to address the problem. By combining artificial intelligence and machine learning with social science, the Online Hate Index will ultimately uncover and identify trends and patterns in hate speech.
Look at that, white rights.
rights
for white people.
9/11 truth is hate as well. First Amendment, that's considered
right.
a hate term. Censorship, just talking about saying that they have the power to censor us as they're censoring us, that's considered anti-Semitic hate speech.
Yeah, we don't have the power to censor you, so we will censor you for saying that we're censoring you. And then round and round we go. First Amendment conspiracy. We know about the conspiracy theory now, too. Yahoo News also revealed that some of the very interesting people actually behind that. I did some extra research on that. Very interesting how this woman who released that document from the FBI bureau's bulletin or whatever, the Phoenix field office was a bulletin that they released about how conspiracy theories is the new domestic terrorism, essentially. And this lady who released that, she's been given multiple documents in many other regards as well. She seems to be some kind of maybe Operation Mockingbird like leak that they have a person on the inside who is getting documents, and then she can write up stories about it to again, I mean, most of the media report on that, so then they can put pressure on other media companies to report on this, and then there will be pressure on the state ultimately, and even the FBI to do something about this, right? You create noise in the media. That's how you do it.
Exactly. And it's funny, the comments and the thumbs down ratio are all set to private on this, which that wasn't the case at first.
Yeah, no, of course not. 20,000 views. They usually get very little views as well for being these huge, massively influential organizations. But yeah, so they go through some of that. I don't know if there's anything worth in the end there, but it's just the idea to show that they're building like machine learning tools to study and behavior and target opinions early in the process. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Absolutely. It's psychopathic and dangerous. All the tech being consolidated and centralized in Israel with their cybersecurity agenda is a very huge concern.
Absolutely. I think Netflix TV had a message again here, Entropy Chat. He's been doing great work on Epstein, on the Epstein scandal. Yeah, that's right. The name you mentioned, Sean Atwood. He's been doing great work on the Epstein scandal. I think you'd have a lot to talk about. He's being interviewed by David Icke. Really? Oh, interesting. And his channel is entertaining as hell. Also, you should shorten the Entropy link. Yeah, they said they're going to do that. I'm waiting for Entropy to do that. It's up to them. I think they were going to have like entropy.live/ like Red Ice TV or something. But it still actually works very well. I don't know. Have you used it, Adam? Entropy?
I haven't yet. I'm still new on OBS and Restream.
Okay, yeah, this is just a bypass, like for the, you know, YouTube demonetization. I don't know, do you have Super Chats still on your YouTube channel? No, okay.
No, they took those away and stole the whole previous month of Super Chats that I had already earned from my audience for the videos I had done and didn't pay that out.
Oh, interesting. Wow, I didn't know they could do. Of course they would do that, right? Makes sense. Yeah, but check into that. It's very easy to run as soon as you start a live stream. Just kick that up and it works on itself. Very easy. I'll send you a link. It's a great option. Thank you to the people at Entropy, by the way, for doing that and being there for us for that. Okay, let's listen to this other clip. I played some of it before, but this is actually when he talks about redirecting to Yad Vashem, you said. So let's listen to this clip here.
We work with Google on using AI to try to interrupt cyber hate before.
Oh, sorry. That was my bad.
We work with YouTube to get them to change their algorithms so it lessens the likelihood that a young person's going to run into some of these anti-Semitic conspiratorial videos. We worked with Facebook on trying to use a redirect method. So when you search for Holocaust as a hoax, you get directed to like a Yad Vashem page. So there are different ways they can tweak their algorithms and adjust their products. So they think not only about free speech, not only protect a user's right to free speech, but protect a user's right to not be harassed or hated. They have done some good things to deal with very specific cases by taking swifter action when people perpetrate online bullying or online harassment. Washington, you know, there's a gap in the legal regime. There are techniques that extremists have used online to terrorize Jews and other people, like doxing and swatting and different forms of cyberbullying.
Yeah, because they don't do that
are not covered by existing laws and need to be. Because the school principal says, well, it's not really bullying because no one has a bloody nose, right? But in fact, the abuse online can be far, far worse than anything physical. So, you know, we need legislators to catch up and to fill some of the gaps.
Wow. I have plenty of comments on that, but you dig into that first, Adam, if you want.
I love how they always do the double speak that this is us caring about free speech as we redirect while you're trying to find information about their conspiratorial anti-Semitic content, which is basically just saying, oh, they've never conspired. They never do anything bad. Any criticism at all is unacceptable. And then Susan Wojciak, she, on the same day when she was doing censorship, she did some post about how she cares about free speech and YouTube is an open platform. And I saw you did a tweet. You called her a clown underneath, which got more likes than her actual post.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny when that happens. Yeah, the ratio on that was pretty good, actually. It's funny. Everyone knows it. That's the thing. And I mean, again, they use these words and they say it like this. And it's like, well, that seems reasonable. But then you realize, wait a minute. These are gatekeepers for... they are positioning themselves in a position where they are the preeminent authority on what information might or might not hurt other people. And if, as I said, if you're feeling like that someone says bad words online, well, you can turn it off. You can block people. You can walk away. There's all these things are already in place on all these platforms, right? It's they're using that as an excuse to shut down valid criticism, questions that people have. They call it conspiracy theory to delegitimize it when it might be very, very valid and important information that people need to know. Think about it. Think back historically. If people had not persevered and pushed through when the state or whatever authority at that time was in place prevented people from saying something or speaking something or sharing details that actually have now become the accepted truth that we live in now, right? That's the point where we're at. They might not like it and they might call it or whatever, but as we know, the best thing then to debunk it then, to disprove it and say that, right? But they've managed to spin it now. So now it's like, well, no, you see, it's dangerous. And now people are turning to violence just because they read a conspiracy theory online. And that's just, there's no statistics like behind that. It's very minimal, the wackos who have gone out and done something in the name of a particular piece of information that these people don't like. I mean, it's like shootings and violent acts you get in the name of all kinds of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now they're trying to label any conspiracy theorist or, you know, quote unquote anti-Semites as a domestic terrorist. And they're talking about red flag laws and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's so Orwellian. It's so nefarious and it's just total authoritarianism. And again, these people come in and they shut down valid speech, legitimate research, things outside of the box, things that people should be able to learn about and get access to and find out about just because they don't like it. And it's partially things that will threaten these individuals' power and influence that they hold right now. That's really at the end of it. They might kind of piggyback it on the behind, like they push a child in front, right? That's what they, well, look at this child that was hurt or something. And then everyone is like, oh, well, boo hoo. And oh, what a shame. But then on the back end of that, you have like massive transgressions by political forces that are clamping down on citizens' right to participate in political dialogue. It's a fraud. It's fake.
He's so inauthentic. Just look at him. He sounds so scripted and robotic. And you know he's just like a total gangster that is trying to silence everybody's free speech. They need to use their free speech to try to debunk or disprove or debate what we're saying. But no, we're dangerous. We need to be censored. We need to not have the same rights as everybody else on YouTube to be supported by the people that listen and appreciate and value our work. It's clear discrimination and torturous interference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well said. Bjorn Wright Solvang says on the Entropy chat as well. We'll talk about this here in a moment. This is interesting.
My Jones video popped up there on the recommended.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. Yeah.
There it is. Jones blaming the Chi-Coms for
Epstein. Oh, this one. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, check out Adam's channel, guys, if you haven't. A lot of good videos on there. Anyway, Bjorn Wright Solvang says in the Entropy chat, following PewDiePie's brilliant example, is this the ADL's donation account? Yeah, it is, exactly. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if someone like PewDiePie would donate to actual, like, a free speech organization or independent media organizations that are actually challenging and threatening, you know, the establishment or something like that? There's actually one thing we didn't talk about. What do you think is going to happen in the headlines now to PewDiePie? Well, how severe and how bad is the targeting going to be of him?
Well, I already saw this one guy, I forget his name is Yair or something. You have him pinned to the top of your tweet right now, I believe, of him saying that it's okay for them to joke. He's like, oh, the anti-Semites are so bad that PewDiePie can't even donate to the ADL. He can't even donate without people being mad. As if this guy doesn't understand why people are being mad. They're trying to shut down any criticism of a foreign country and criminal conduct in our country. Subversive group, just meddling and interfering, and it's like an invasion, essentially.
Was that the tweet from Syntrax?
You know, I was looking for it and couldn't find it, but it was a year something.
Okay, yeah, okay. We'll see if we can find it later. That's kind of interesting. And I don't know what that was on behalf of, but that was, or where he was like talking about that. But anyway, let's move on to some of the tabs and stuff that we have here as well. This is the one I wanted to show, guys. Very, very important and just shocking. We covered way back when in a Weekend Warrior show what was happening in Iceland, because, of course, a lot of the Nordic countries have done extensive studies on how bad circumcision is for boys, male genital mutilation. They've decided not to do it. In many cases, they've gone on to ban it, which is, of course, a sensible thing to do. While, of course, the ADL and other organizations are claiming, you know, religious freedom and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, what's happening now is because Iceland is threatening about this. I know that they sent a rabbi there. They were starting up the first synagogue, I think, in Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland. And here is an example of a letter, or an example. It is a letter of what the ADL sent to one of our ministers in Iceland. It basically says, if you ban circumcision, we'll use our media to destroy your tourism. Check this out here. Mm-hmm. We write to offer three compelling reasons against the adoption of a ban on male circumcision, right? He's talking about religious freedom and medical benefits. Yeah, right. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe for people who don't have water or like know how to clean themselves. The Scandinavian studies I read on it, it actually affects your nervous. There's so many nerve endings in this particular part of the male body that it actually can cause psychosis and schizophrenia and like weird things that actually pop up, psychological effects. Because it's so traumatizing to cut this particular part of the body.
But it's the trauma and the chemicals that are released and the baby stay elevated for weeks and weeks afterwards.
Yeah, and of course, then you have that other aspects which kind of you essentially can't talk about, but there's a let me just say it, some of the kids that are subjected to this might get hepatitis C because they end up putting their lips around the part afterwards, but I don't think we can say more than that.
Even just look regular circumcisions, there's all types of they make mistakes and babies end up having major problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So it says here, then, the follow-up on the letter here, ADL has studied the pervasiveness of anti-Semitic content on social media, and we know that a relatively small number of extremists are able to amplify their message quickly and broadly through social media. ADL regularly reports on such phenomena. And we will report on extremism praise for Iceland. We will report on extremist praise for Iceland. We urge you to consider the significant media attention in the US and internationally paid to ADL reports on extremism. In the past 6 months alone, our research and experts have been featured on CNN and other cable TV channels, NBC and other broadcast TV on 60 Minutes, the most watched TV news magazine in America, and in leading newspapers, I'd say, text very small here on my end, including the New York Times and the Washington Post. Given that, this is an interesting passage here, given that 28% of Iceland's tourists came from North America in 2016, Iceland's standing in the U.S. should be of great concern from an economic perspective. We are confident that the vast majority of American tourism will avoid a country whose reputation is association with Nazism, even if that association is not justified.
Just amazing.
Oh,
my
God.
They're admitting that they control the media and that they're willing to lie, to smear them with a gangster extortion racket.
Jesus. You know, this, ladies and gentlemen, this insanity right here is the reason why people think that PewDiePie was blackmail. It's essentially like paying off the mob and saying, "Hey, here's the money. Please don't break my legs." It's a nice YouTube channel you got there with 100 million subscribers. Shame if something were to happen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is threats to a country by this group, saying we can destroy your reputation and you lose. This is what they do. And this is the sign and the proof that they target people on a financial level. This organization get millions of dollars in peddling hate and nonsense and garbage, thinks it doesn't happen. If you don't believe me, look at the movie. It's on YouTube called Defamation. It's about this organization. They highlight and specifically expose the type of reports that they were getting to their New York and other offices regarding anti-Semitism. And the majority of the report was essentially small, petty little things. Like the employer would not give a person the day off for a specific religious holiday. And that was reported and went into the statistics as anti-Semitism. When the employer was like, look, I can't afford to like let you take that day off. We're, you know, we need to be here, essentially. That's anti-Semitism now.
All the hoax attacks get padded into the stats, too, that they use as well.
Absolutely. There, if you look at it, it's a joke. It's an
that
joke.
Defamation documentary is linked at the bottom of the front page of my website.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, exactly. Definitely check it out. Yeah, nomorenews.org, ladies and gentlemen, is Adam's site. That's a very good documentary. I recommend everyone watching that. It shows also, to be fair here, the traumatization of what they're doing to their own community, of their own people, and the young people that they drag to some of these sites. Of previous crimes and things like that, that they say, and to kind of traumatize them into this on an emotional level that they must feel in a particular way. And it shows that they're almost indoctrinated. Oh, they are indoctrinated into thinking that the rest of the world is out to get them. The world is just full of Nazis that are just that want to kill them and things like that. It's horrendous what these kids are going through.
Yeah, similar with the birthright trips, which is so influential with the all-seeing eye symbolism on their logo.
Yeah, that is right. That's right. I covered, of course, a little bit of that in the Spectre video. We can actually kind of dive in that direction right now. But I think you mentioned about the this issue, too. I covered this in a video that there was criminalization investigations, at least, into banning runes, a cultural heritage, a script on par with hieroglyphics in Egypt or cuneiform in Babylon or something like that. Not as old, but still, it's our cultural heritage. What's your take on that? And do you think the ADL is behind that?
No, well, seeing the ADL go after Iceland and circumcision, it just reminded me of the World Jewish Congress in Sweden going after basically, you know, your cultural heritage and your ancestry's religion and words and just history in general, trying to get rid of it all. Imagine us going over there and just saying, get rid of your symbols in Israel. Nobody would ever have it.
No, absolutely. That's all you have to do. You have to just expose the double standards. But I do believe that exposing double standards was, according to the U.S. State Department, anti-Semitism now.
Probably, yeah.
I think you talked about that in one of your videos. Exposing double standards and dual loyalties. Anyway.
They say that criticizing them, if you don't criticize other injustice in the world, that's a double standard and it's anti-Semitic to criticize them, but not other countries.
Right.
What about them argument?
Exactly. Yep, that's right. And so Barbara Spector, you wanted to kind of mention that a little bit as well as an important kind of side note to all of this that's happening right now.
Yeah, well, just like in Sweden, World Jewish Congress is going after your ancient symbols. Barbara Spector's there saying that you have to survive, you have to be multicultural. And then it just, you know, that's a viral video, woke up so many people. You said it even started to really woke up you a lot, too. And I imagine it would from Sweden and having her over there saying that.
And yeah, she red-pilled me single-handedly on that particular question, actually, because it was like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, so your video this morning about that was fantastic. I suggest everybody watch it. I love showing the big agenda for their world government and fulfilling the prophecy. And I just want to mention one thing. She's there meeting with Rothschild in Jerusalem for their common destiny, their prophetic destiny to fulfill these prophecies, their divine prophecies.
Yeah, that's right.
The Rothschilds were also connected and were funding Kalergi way back then. And he talked about the same things. All the other ethnicities mixing together. But the ones in Israel will be like the chosen nation of priests, the ruler nation that kind of rule over everybody else.
Well, that's what it seems to be going, frankly. And again, I don't want to make this about the Our Common Destiny conference that was happening here September 9th to 11th. But it's an important footnote and side note. Check out the video, guys, if you want to back story on that. But here's the website, Our Common Destiny. And of course, as you say, people like Barbara Spector is invited here for a very specific reason, because her activism, her work that she's doing is valued. And if you end up in the same forum as Lord Jacob Rothschild and like Rabbi, was it Shackler, I think his name is, out of the UK. I mean, internationally, very, very important, rich, powerful, wealthy, influential individuals. It's not a, in other words, if you look at her testimonies from her, what she said, her quotes, her tweets even, and stuff like that, This is a horrific racist individual, which should not be permitted to have to be in that kind of setting. To be honest, the way that she's targeting people of European descent, it's unbelievable.
And they're meeting for this Jerusalem conference from all over the world leaders. And then there's the World Jewish Congress and all these international groups. And they say it's at state.gov, it's considered anti-Semitic to talk about any of their power as a collective or any of their loyalty to any type of like international Jewry or to Israel. You're not allowed to say that while they're openly doing it and talking about their prophetic destiny.
That's right. And that's, of course, why some of these organizations are there to shut people down. Just a couple of more things I want to show here. Basically, there were so many videos. Let me lower the music there a little bit. There were so many videos. Chris from Altnoden did a very good, just short video, just showing the search results on like PewDiePie and ADL, I think it was, or maybe ADL Blackmail, and just showing the amount of videos that came out in the wake of this. Which, of course, was very, very important because it showed and exposed how many people were talking about it, how significant of an impact this was, how many people also were alerted to this organization that might not even have previously known about this, which adds this other layer to it of, like, glorious, well, I don't know if we can call it trolling, but a glorious layer of intention.
Did you see that? Styx in his video said that it was 4D chess. I wonder if that was yesterday, right?
I listened to that. Yeah, and it was pretty good. He essentially said that he, what was it he said again? He might, yeah, does he know what he's doing? Is he bringing attention to it? Yeah, there's the video right there. PewDiePie gives 50K to the ADL. 4D chess, blackmail. And I do believe, God, I was watching so many videos on that at the same time. I can't remember all of his specific arguments. But yeah, I think he alluded to this idea that it's like, maybe it's intentional to kind of bring attention to them or something like that, to that effect. Check it out, folks. It was very good. But yeah, tremendous amount of videos, right, that came out in the wake of this. So very good. Well done. Regardless of what the intent was of PewDiePie, he's brought he's brought the world... a new aspect. A lot of people are butthurt, as I said before as well. Here's one guy commenting. So the PewDiePie subreddit is currently having an anti-Semitic meltdown and accusing the ADL, a Jewish-focused organization, of blackmail, controlling US politics through financial means, and operating like a mafia protection racket. Well, those are all actually pretty accurate accusations there, Adam.
Where's the argument? Where's he proving it wrong?
He doesn't. They never do. They just say it, they just say that it's ridiculous and that's supposed to stand on its own, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. IGN, you know, it was on gaming side, right? PewDiePie caves to pressure, pulls 50K donation to charity for some reason. I like that. For no reason whatsoever, one day PewDiePie just pulled his $50,000 donation. There's plenty of reasons. I wish he would talk about what exactly pieces of information that he did come across. This one was funny. I'm not going to read this one, but I thought it was funny anyway. Anything with the little symbol on the neck there, maybe? Who knows? I'll just leave that there, YouTube.
I don't know. I don't know what that represents.
No, there's no... I disavowed the reference. So Angelo John Gaze was tweeting about this too, and you might also know about some of the background to the organization. Now, I do believe that it was absolutely true that the ADL was established after a Jewish man, he says here, Frank Leo. Was it Frank Leo? I thought it was...
Leo Frank.
Leo Frank. That's right. That's right. Got that in the back way there. Twist around. Was convicted of raping 4-year-old girl Mary Fagan. At first, he was given the death penalty, but the Jewish community begged for life in prison. The judge cucked, then a group of real men hung his beep ass to get justice. What do you know about the backstory to the ADL?
Well, I know she wasn't a 4-year-old. The girl was like, maybe he meant to write 14. She was older, but she worked for him, and he was connected to B'nai B'rith, and that's why the ADL formed out of B'nai B'rith, was to protect him, because they say that he raped her and murdered her. They tried to blame it on somebody else, and then eventually some citizen vigilantes got Leo Frank and brought him to justice. And they're still, the ADL still today is trying to clear his name on this.
Interesting. Yeah, I know some of the backstory. It was a few years ago since I looked into that, but that's something people can obviously look into.
Just did a good video on it recently.
Who did?
Really Graceful, it's a YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I've heard of that one. Okay, great. Yeah, there's some interesting information out there, which of course they would, this organization would be interested in blocking, for example, right? It's monopolization of information access. That's what this organization is helping with. And again, you said, we've kind of talked about this new, but you said ADL is a terrorist hate group of a foreign power. That's another thing that people don't, you know, think about, that it represents another nation's interest primarily, and that should be emphasized, I think.
And to back that up, I've done several videos like the ADL Exposed in 1950s book, Who Put Them in Charge of Free Speech, YouTube and Kabbalah Stealing My Super Chat. So they really are an arm of Israel. They admitted in their propaganda video that they go over there, they got close relations, they got an office in Israel, they bring American police to go train in Israel and politicians to go over there. They are shielding Israel from all criticism. That is what they're set up to do, and defame anybody that tells the truth about what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw some other people too, of course, and it's just kind of fun to go through some of these guys and just showing some of the reactions. The guy who's literally the nephew of Cenk Yogurt, Hassan, which is from the Young Turks, this far-left extremist Antifa apologist outlet, he literally has a show now called Agitprop, which is kind of funny, right, being the communist that is. He says, when the alt-right absolutely cucks you and your impressionable audience, he was upset that people were were exposing, you know, essentially in the comments under his video. It's just funny, though, because there was like a lot of forbidden information that was revealed in some of these comments, and I just thought it was funny. But people know, people are smart, Adam. It shows that the tide is turning. Yeah, we don't have to look in specifics. I don't mean to show any specifics of those there. It's just fun. But it shows that people are smart, and that there's an incredible force in the activism of people kind of swarming, for the lack of a better term, a specific topics. It is information warfare to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's kind of like the emperor wears no clothes. The ADL is really being outed. And Zionism in general, I think, is being outed big time, too.
That's why they're panicking. That's why they're.
I felt it just 9/11. I saw your 9/11 coverage you did with Black Pilled, and a lot of other channels are just not accepting the BS live 9/11 at all.
No, that's right. Very important component to all of this. Understanding the bigger picture, understanding why, you know, if you come from the perspective of like anti-globalism and nationalism, understand what the background and the reasoning is for all these migrants being flooded into European countries and America as well. It's a distinct foreign policy that has dictated those kinds of events and that have led to these disastrous wars and stuff like that too. So that event is seminal. It's a linchpin in the whole event in itself. So you know, unplug that linchpin and the whole house of cards fall apart essentially. Very, very important. So much to expose there, of course. But anyway, here's Morgoth Review, who did a good tweet as well. After suffering one of their worst ever PR disasters and having been accused of blackmail and extortion, the ADL responds to the internet by proclaiming the word tentacle to be an anti-Semitic trope. It's kind of funny. I don't know if you saw that, but it's this kind of stuff that they spend their time. That's why, like, they're restricting your ability to use certain words to describe, like, you know, events and power and, you know, like globalist. You saw in the clip that I played. Globalist is an off-limit term now, according to these people.
Yeah, so it's cultural Marxism. They say that's anti-Semitic as well. And same with neocons. They're trying to say that you can't say neocons anymore. That's anti-Semitic as well.
How about neo-Cohens? The use of tentacles to describe the reach of George Soros has long been used to accuse him of manipulation. They're obsessed with George Soros. And as soon as someone criticizes George Soros, it's immediate anti-Semitism. It's amazing. Accuse him of manipulation and control, which he does. He's massively wealthy and influential. This trope, I love that word too. I know you love that word too. They use that. They just wheel that out on a gold cart every time. This trope, and that's supposed to be disqualified.
Like just means true, really.
Exactly. This truism, like others used in Soros conspiracies, has anti-Semitic roots. More here. And then so it's from the Daily Beast saying, Lou Dobbs deploys anti-Semitic tentacles trope to smear George Soros. Wow. That's kind of funny. That's why I thought it was funny, the thumbnail I used, because, you know, the Bond villain is called Spectre, and the symbol is a octopus.
Yeah, Hydra as well. In the Captain America movies.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, interesting. Yeah. It's all veiled. I don't know if you saw this. It's just a 51-second clip here. Syntrax does some good stuff. Make sure you follow him over on Twitter and YouTube as well. But it's from ADL Global. Either when they're becoming 100 years old or at that anniversary. I'm not even sure how old they are. Anyway, let's check this out here.
1913.
Okay, so that's past. Okay, so this is an older video. Thank you for clarifying that for me. Mm-hmm. Let's check this out here.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Here we go. Hang on, Adam. ADL Global 100. Nice. Is this, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this one of the only groups that are kind of, I don't know what the right word is, hypersensitive to the perceptions of them in regards to the rest of the world? Like studying, like how, what do people think about Swedes now? Do they think we're manipulating too much? Do they think we're getting involved in the banking sector? Dual loyalty? Go on, Adam. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, they spend so much time researching what everybody else thinks about them. Like, they're almost, they have to be the best at being hated, almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then, like, yeah,
the permanent victim status as they cry out in pain as they strike you.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen the, you know, like reports and news articles, but a new study has come out and this is how much anti-Semitism has risen in the world or in Europe now or things like that. And they never collect a link of, like, you know, transforming European, nations and then, you know, bringing in people who are, of course, have a much bigger grudge with the Jewish community due to their behavior in the Middle East and why that might be the cause of the rise in these anti-Semitic reports and stuff. But most of it is BS, as you said, too, because most of it is just totally underhanded nonsense stuff that goes into these statistical reports. And we're meant to just believe that. Oh, it's an increase in hate crime now again. Well, when you begin dissecting a lot of that, it just kind of falls apart, to be honest.
Yeah, they always talk about what's been done to them, but never explain why is another parable, I believe.
Now, this one is, yeah, absolutely. Now, this one's kind of interesting from Syntrax as well. He just says, it's okay for us to make jokes about it. The ADL. Let's listen to this. It's funny. I forget what show this is from and if it's someone from the, is this the new guy of the?
This is who I was talking about earlier. Yair Rosenberg. He's a writer for the Forward. He has me blocked, but he just tweeted today about PewDiePie and saying he can't donate because of anti-Semites or something like that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Listen to this then, what he says here. Here we go.
Another example. Someone tweeted at me, why are Jews so weak and bad at sports? Now, does this guy actually believe it? I doubt it. He just thought it would get me angry. But what it actually was a fastball down the middle. And so I just excerpted his tweet and said, well, of course Jews don't really participate in athletics. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power.
Yeah, he said it, not me.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, exactly. last line. Yeah, they wouldn't be laughing that much. JBS is the organization here behind this, or the conference.
Participate in athletics. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power. So, another example.
I can say it because it's funny, yeah. All righty, man. Whatever you say. But then if you do say it, then it's not true, obviously. Let's dive into some of these here, too, then. This is kind of where we're going off in some of the other areas here. But there are some other stories that you wanted to bring up tonight as well. The 9/11 anniversary, of course, was yesterday. We covered some of that, too. But it was very interesting seeing some of the articles and the accusations out there. What did you make of the coverage in the mainstream media and stuff like that?
Well, I saw you post this story, and I thought that was very interesting because they're always trying to scapegoat white people for what they're doing. And like they do with Trump a whole lot. But this reminded me of a story a few years back that So they're saying that the CIA was too white, not enough diversity, or else they would have prevented 9/11. So it's white people's fault for 9/11 is the takeaway from that headline. And then if you skip to the next article, George Tenet, who is the head of the CIA, was drunk in that's Bandar Bush, the longtime ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and Bush screaming about the Jays in Bandar's pool. And if you see down the quote, he says, "They're setting me up. The bees are setting me up," Tenet said, "but I'm not going to take the hit." They were trying to blame him for Iraq and for, you know, 9/11 and stuff. And then down a little bit further, according to one witness, he mocked the neocons in the Bush administration and their alignment with the right wing of Israel's political establishment, Netanyahu and the Likuds and AIPAC and ZOA, referring them with exasperation as, quote, the Jays.
Interesting.
So they're trying to blame him, one of the one Gentiles that was involved with 9/11 at the time. And they're trying to pin it on him. And then the movie Vice about Dick Cheney, they did the same thing. They showed a scene where they're rewriting history that Israel didn't want to go to war with Iraq. And they said it was a bad idea. It would destabilize. And really, they were the main ones pushing it and wanted regime change big time with PNAC and the Clean Break documents.
Yeah, and a lot of those things that came in legally after 9/11 too, like the Patriot Act and things like that, are literally now measures that are being used against Americans, obviously. Yep. And many people call this, they said that. It's like, okay, well, you might agree with some of these laws now and stuff, and as usual, it's to protect us and save us and all this kind of nonsense, right? But now they're being whipped out. Actually, one of the reasons why financial institutions can target individuals and ban them and things like that that we're now beginning to see is because of things, there are clauses in the Patriot Act that essentially pins responsibility on financial institutions. So they have a responsibility almost to of sort, because they can end up in trouble if someone would complain on them. So you can have interest groups approaching financial institutions like banks and other things like PayPal and stuff like that and say, oh, well, this person has done XYZ, etc. You'd better remove them or we'll sue you for whatever reason, right? And they can actually legally do that because of bullshit like the Patriot Act. So all of this stuff that people warned about is now coming true. And now they're turning their attention to white Al-Qaeda, right? That's the big boogeyman now.
Absolutely. That's what all the focus is on.
Now, there was one clip. We'll return to some of these topics a little bit as well. I know we have some more links, but I just wanted to show this quickly because I forgot to play it. And it's a significant clue about PewDiePie, the fact of how much he actually did know and that the potentiality that it was some kind of 4D chess and trolling and stuff like that. Let's check out this clip here.
Just like people told me after the Wall Street Journal that I need to do a charity for Jewish charities or something like that. And I said no, not because I don't want to, because it will seem like the most disingenuous thing ever. You're not doing it because you want to, you're doing it to save your brand. And people are smart enough to see through those things. Just like people.
That's funny, isn't it? So, you know, he knows a lot, you know, that's to be mentioned. You know, again, I think he knows about the guy that ruined his deal with Disney. You know, he cost potentially tens of millions of dollars, hundreds. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows what much. He doesn't talk about his finances much, but he's very wealthy, this guy. He has a lot of resources. He's a loose cannon. He proved that he did off the wall stuff that the establishment does not like because they don't control him. He's not part of the little in club, you know what I mean? And they don't like individuals like that because they can all of a sudden goes on and talk about some stuff which they don't like, and they have millions of people that they can reach with it. That's why they trying to, you know, destroy him and punitively make sure that he can't have the reach that he has. Now, I don't think his YouTube channel is going to be deleted. There's a lot of things that he would have to do, I think, to get, you know, to be banned from YouTube. But it doesn't mean that they won't be trying, Adam.
He already kind of started some new big thing to try to build up DLive. So I hope he goes, starts telling the truth and not holding back and does get kicked off. That'd be great.
Yep. No, I totally agree. Absolutely.
Look at the views on that. Almost 73,000 views. He's definitely going to see that and feel like, feel pretty stupid.
Yeah. And and this might be one of the things that he did see and he was reminded about it or something, you know what I mean? So
it
helps. Again, as I said in the beginning of the show, folks, all of you good activists out there that have been slamming these issues, you should be proud of yourself today. It's we've won a great victory today, Adam. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. All right, here's some other ones. Let's dive into these as well. This is about 9/11 stuff, right?
So yeah, just some quick stories from today.
Yeah.
This is they're going after Whitney Webb's article about the dancing Israelis, because if you Google search dancing Israelis, up comes her article and a bunch of people telling the truth about dancing Israelis. So they're like, oh, we better do something about this. So they're calling on the search engine optimization professionals at Unit 8200 in Israel to do something with the algorithms to bury the truth about the huge smoking gun of 9/11, foreknowledge of Mossad, most likely, is the dancing Israelis.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, of course, after the, you know, it's another way that you, Google, and again, YouTube, owned by the same company, is restricting information, diverting things away from topics which they don't like and stuff like that. I mean, in the early days of YouTube, we talked about this before, Adam, but early days of YouTube, and even Google, I mean, the red eyesight, oh, shit, the red eyesight, I dropped a mouse here. The red eyesight was listed very high on specific topics. We got, you know, I remember, you know, certain phrases, certain words, certain topics we had covered, certain, even if you do like image searches for certain things, I remember we always came up first for certain specific topics and stuff like that. But that's been scrubbed now because we've been blacklisted, right? So we've spent years, I started the site in 2003, for Christ's sake. I mean, spent years of building that up. It's part of the business and the reach and all those kinds of things. And that's why, like, you know, there must be recourse at some point, a class action lawsuit or something that comes along that shows that these companies have done things which has been financially limiting. And you know, that's one of the things that's part of the class action lawsuit, that you have to kind of prove that you're like, you know, it's not that that's the biggest part of it. I don't want people to focus in on that. It's more important that the information gets out. But I'm just saying one of the criteria for these class action lawsuits is that you can prove that you've been hurt, right, in some capacity, like financially or your reputation or you've been smeared or something like that. And I think that that's part of a lot of creators and a lot of people that are specifically in the alternative news sphere that have built up websites and reputations and reach and stuff like that over the years. And then all of a sudden, with a flick of a button, Google can just turn that off and making sure that when people search for these words and terms, you're nowhere to be found. And that's part of this, right? That's part of that same argument, that you have specific kind of topics and themes that people are attracted to your material for.
Yeah, we can't allow a private company to be able to banish you from the public sphere where all the communications of modern day are taking place.
Yeah, no, absolutely right.
And the media completely ignored all the dancing Israeli photos that came out this year, as if that's not an important story.
Yeah, exactly. Very important. I still haven't covered that in detail, by the way. Well, maybe you can come back on the show at some point, talk about that. The photo that was released, but they redacted the faces and stuff. And, you know, just a big farce. Anyway, this one I saw, I think it was, I saw it first on E. Michael Jones' Twitter. Yep. I don't know, is it the same clip, maybe?
Yep, same one.
Okay, yeah, let's play this, guys. Speaking about every single time. Kind of stuff.
I'm filming a documentary, as you may or may not know, about white privilege.
I'm clearly the beneficiary of white privilege. I want to know how to be a better white person.
It's like talking about porn at the dinner table, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously at my dinner table, that would be fine, but...
My name's Chelsea Handler, and I am as white as they come.
You guys have.
Yeah, it's a great video, that one. Wow, that's just every, yeah, I mean, what can you say, every single time, right? It's like, so this is a new series coming out, I guess, with on Netflix.
Netflix is so much Zionist propaganda. Jeez. So much. There's like two new specials about Mossad this week. They had a series about Mossad. All this anti 9/11 truth propaganda in there. And it's funny how she's like, oh, it's like talking about porn at the dinner table. Like, she's so brave to talk about this.
Yeah, with her
as
kids.
If we don't see headlines of white supremacy and white guilt everywhere.
Yeah,
inundated.
I know. Yeah, Netflix is just one of the most anti-white media outlets that I've seen. They've just turned up the heat even more than all these other companies have. It's absolutely amazing. And
I did a video. They had a whole stand-up special with multiple comedians. It's called Netflix Has a Hate Speech Problem, is the title of the video. And it is all just anti-white jokes from each comedian.
Yeah, it was like a couple of weeks ago, or actually, no, it was a couple of months ago, actually, I think. I just casually, we've had a person visiting, they plugged in their details, so I still have, I don't believe me, I'm not paying for Netflix. Never pay for Netflix. Cancel Netflix and, you know, support Adam Green, sign up for a Red Eyes membership instead. Don't cancel Netflix, for Christ's sake, cancel it. But, you know, we piggyback on this other person's account here and there. And I, you know, I don't watch much stuff on there, obviously, but I went in the other day just looking at it, or the other month I went in and looking at it. It was just this random, it wasn't, and I saw your video on the stand-up, and this was not it. This was a different stand-up of some other guy. And you know how now it begins to autoplay once you just kind of highlight one, you know, feature or whatever, a TV show or a movie. And he just immediately came on, and it was about white people and how bad white people are and white privilege and all these white dudes and too many white people. And again, another stand-up gig, and everyone was laughing about this stuff. And it's like massive amounts of shows about how awful it is being a mother, having children, and you know that kind of stuff. I think we lost your video there. There we go, Adam. You know, all this garbage that they're releasing, and it's just like massive propaganda, Netflix.
Yeah, the Dave Chappelle stand-up that just came out a couple weeks ago, he did a joke about disarming white people, and the whole crowd just like cheered. It was like kind of creepy, you know?
Oh, wow. I thought someone said, I didn't see it obviously, but someone said that he made fun of some of the kind of sacred cows of the progressive left or something, and
yeah,
they were upset about that too, or?
He did, yeah.
Yeah. All right, interesting.
And then the next story after Chelsea Handler and the Every Single Time is, I guess, you can just play that.
Okay, yeah, let's play it. Let me read that for the podcast audience. On social media, impersonating accounts are being used as a tool for online trolling and disinformation. Twitter users have now also discovered recently created fake Twitter accounts impersonating Jays. These fake accounts promoting anti-Semitic conspiracy theories have proliferated following a post on the online forum 4chan. Oh, that's right, I saw this tweet from this one guy. The post urges readers to, quote, create a massive movement of fake Jayish profiles on Facebook and Twitter, unquote, with the goal of avoiding censors and spreading conspiracy theories. That's information warfare. Quote, some of us Jays have been known to bend the truth at times. Oh, just that was too fast. Bend the truth at times for advantages, or for our own advantage, it says.
From Haim Adelberg.
Reads an account, yeah, from Twitter, already permanently suspended several accounts. 4chan is known as a platform for malicious. Here we go. Here's the. Oh, okay. Tell us all about it. Tell us all about 4chan. Did you? And it's from the Jewish World Congress too. Powered by Wibbits. Nice. So, did you see? Happen to see? I don't know how involved in that kind of world you are, whatever you want to call it. But there've been.
I never go on 8chan.
Not you go on it. I never do either. Actually, frankly, very rarely you do some research or something like that. Certain specific topics you can actually find information there that is like scrubbed from the web and stuff like that. But not too often. But like 8chan, they've been trying to take. It is down, I think, currently. Jim Watkins and stuff. The people who are very, very pro free speech, obviously, and these outlets have been targeted in the wake of some of these shootings, and they blame them. As they never would blame like Facebook for being responsible when murders or shootings are live streamed there and stuff like that, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, I saw the founder of 8chan had a Q pin on. There were stories about him that he was promoting QAnon. I mm-hmm. thought that was a little interesting / suspicious.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's another headline from New York Times that some alt-right or anti-Semite stole my husband, my rabbi husband's identity to do this trolling that they were doing.
I remember
that one.
It's
just playing, see how they like it. Pretend to be them and then say that you hate yourself. That's what they're doing to us. So many examples, numerous examples of them doing this. And it's like every single time, as your audience knows, I'm sure.
Let me see here if I can find, I want to recommend a Twitter account here, guys. Okay, let me see again.
One that like collects all of those?
Yes, the Noticer, right? What is the actual handle of that guy?
I'm not sure.
Let me see if it comes up if I search. I'm sure it won't. So you can't search for the Noticer. This is what they do now. They just kill accounts. Let me try again here. I think it was the Noticer. I think it was banned one time, but it's essentially an account that just kind of targets those like the fellow white people You know, kind of claims. You see some attack on whites and like, oh my God, my white privilege and stuff. And that's all he does. I don't know why I can't find it. Twitter is suck. It's like YouTube. You search for stuff these days and you can't find it, you know?
Yeah, and your playlist that you have created are just like full, or your watch later is just full of empty videos.
Yep, exactly.
They're the book burners. They're the ones that are anti-American, anti-free speech.
They are. Someone in chat has that handle. Guys, DLive or YouTube, send it or post it if you have it. I'll bring it up on screen and show it.
Henrik, I know we're at the end of the links that we had planned, but yep. There's one other story that came out today I wanted to at least mention. I'll probably do more of a video just on it later, hopefully. But Israel accused of planting mysterious spy devices near the White House.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about this one.
Stingray units.
Yep.
As if they don't have enough spies in the White House, they're still spying and wiretapping even more.
Wow.
There it is.
That is amazing.
I laughed so hard when I saw that headline.
Yeah.
And they just say, oh, it's a conspiracy that people that, you know, they're doing this, pretending to be white to talk trash about white people. It's just a conspiracy that there's any demographic changes. Barbara Spector doesn't exist. She's not meeting with Rothschild right now. It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah. And guys in the chat, by the way, you're sending at the e-noticer to me, that account is suspended. So I don't know if that just, I think that that's the old one. I think that that's the old one. Again, the fact that I can't search for it is just unbelievably ridiculous.
They're saying he's only on Telegram now.
Oh, really? Huh.
That's what I just saw.
Okay. Chat, yeah. All right. Okay. Well, check out Telegram. Get on Telegram, guys, if you're not on there.
They're busted spying. Oh, yeah, I'm on Telegram, but I haven't been active.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead and tell us about the story.
The Stingray, they're spying as if they don't have enough spies already. And this is a flashback to when Clinton was in office. They had Amdocs, that's the Israeli company, install the phones. So very likely they were wiretapping Clinton. They got some of his Lewinsky phone calls to blackmail him.
Yep.
And there's headlines. You can just search in Google or whatever. Pollard, Netanyahu, Lewinsky tapes blackmailed Clinton. And then also Epstein had Clinton in the dress, right? The Monica Lewinsky dress.
Oh, yeah. That painting at his house. That's right. Yep, I remember that now.
And Amdocs, they were mentioned in the Carl Cameron 9/11 four-part special for their spying with the phone calls that were all being filtered through Israel. They got back doors and everything.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
And then Clinton was like, yeah, Netanyahu knows how to hit you where it hurts.
Amazing.
And they actually, they used that blackmail information to cover up that Mega Group, there was some Mega Group investigation. They didn't know who Mega was at the time. And it's suspected that they used that to squash that investigation. But that's all I have for that right now.
Okay, well, interesting. Yeah, I remember I saw the tweet, by the way, also about this whole 4chan thing and that the trolls were kind of, yeah, essentially fighting back. And again, I actually found the noticer's Telegram here. Let me pull that up here so you guys can follow. Excuse me, here it is. The noticer, t.me/theenoticer. The e-noticer with an extra e in there. Follow him on Telegram. And you get an idea why there is a level of anger, resentment over the fact how the white person label is being hijacked they levy accusations against themselves, it looks like, some kind of self-flagellation or what do you call it. And then, you know, they reveal that they're actually, they don't belong to that ethnic group. They belong to a different ethnic group, right? So that's essentially what triggered all of these things to arise with 4chan saying essentially like, okay, let's do that reverse on them kind of thing. And I remember that, I forget who tweeted it, but it was some guy. They're obsessed with 4chan now and checking everything on there all the time, of course, and every little, you know, conspiracy that pops up, they got to fight back at it or whatever. But so that's kind of funny, actually, that there was so much anguish about that. And then multiple media outlets were reporting on it. It was spread all over the mainstream media about this thing, and be wary now because now they're out there and stuff. It's just like, this is information warfare. This is how it looks like. Yeah, Adam, this is the new times we're in now.
It's like deplatforming wars. It's not information wars. It's who can shut who down.
That's right.
The most effectively.
And just follow up quickly on that too. The anti-meme militia. Did you see anything about that too?
The story? I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. It was it was DARPA. Let me just go back here. DARPA boomer here on the keyboard today, guys. Here it is. Here's the RT story. We covered, I think it was Flashback Friday, we covered it, but very important as an extension to this kind of thing that we're talking about. DARPA unleashes anti-meme militia to fight deepfakes, which is like, okay, well, that we can maybe get. But then also to polarizing viral content, and essentially effective memes that help to awaken people or help people win elections, for example, and things like that, is seen as such an important and dangerous weapon, essentially, in the information warfare right now, that DARPA is releasing a whole militia that's going to fight on a large scale, what they call automated disinformation attacks, by unearthing both deep fakes but also other polarizing content, with the eventual goal of rooting out so-called malicious intent entirely. This is an interesting story, worth to check out. DARPA, of course, have massive budgets. I'm sure that there's more people that are already, they already have been doing this kind of stuff. But they're talking about synthetic media detection, attribution, just examining everything that's happening. And again, they mentioned, like, 9/11 attacks. There's weaved into this is this kind of idea of conspiracies as well. Essentially, what it's the same. This is, we're back at them. We're back in the period when, like, some of the our European ancestors starting printing the Bible. And the leaders at the time were freaking out, right? And you can't do this. And they had access to the printing press, and they just like shut it down, terminate it, and remove these people because they have way too much influence. It's not being, you're getting information directly yourself. It's not being filtered through an upper crust, an establishment, a priest class that's telling you how to interpret it. That's essentially what's the same pushback that's happening right now.
When I see the headline and I see polarizing up there in quotes, it makes me think of how the left and the right are both accusing the other side of being anti-Semitic. And you're hearing this talking point a lot. They're saying that, oh, it's the extreme left and the extreme right. They actually meet and they're both anti-Semitic together. So by polarizing, I'm kind of taking either thinking that or that, anybody disagreeing with like the mainstream centrist consensus on things. You know, you worship Israel and this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Did I show? I showed the notice there. Yeah, I showed the Telegram post there as well. Article. All right. What else is going on, Adam? I think we spent a good about an hour and a half on this now. Hour 40 almost. A lot of important information. But again, I think the takeaway, Adam, today is people should pat themselves on the back. They have done a great job. This is what happens.
Good job, PewDiePie.
Good job, PewDiePie. But more importantly, I think all the people that put pressure on him, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's way more significant, much more important in the sense of like, and noticing that we can do those kinds of things. Now, it's not, of course, strange that it happens around the biggest YouTuber, but it should be a lesson to be learned of how it could be implemented, maybe, hopefully, on smaller people as well that do these kinds of things, or to try to get information out. I would assume this would be one of those things that they are researching now, how to stop that organically from happening, right? Of how to break it. Because think about it. If we're talking about big social media companies and big tech companies that somehow find a way of intervening in our ability to get this kind of information, this would never have happened, what happened today, you know?
I don't think they can stop us. We definitely have the consensus, and he clearly got the message. Hopefully he can continue down this path. This might open up, a whole can of worms, and who knows, maybe someday we might see PewDiePie connecting with the Swede over on Red Ice. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Do you ever imagine that? Have you tried to reach out to your fellow Swedeman? Is that how you call it? Swedeman?
Just Swede.
Swedish.
Swede.
Swedishman.
Yeah. Swedishman. Swede. My fellow Swede. No, not really, to be honest. But
is that your bucket list to have a PewDiePie on one day?
I mean, it would be fun, obviously. Yeah, he's very much welcome to come on, obviously. But I think he knows some stuff. I think he treads into some areas. He's definitely not like PC. He doesn't like the general kind of attitudes of the culture of where it's going and the repression and stuff like that. He might have seen some stuff, but no, not a big. I mean, I've been just in kind of recent 2 years maybe that I've like really kind of started to follow him. And after some of the more hilarious controversies and stuff like that, I haven't really been like checking in on his content too much before that. I mean, he was just a gamer. He was just kind of screwing around. To a certain extent, he still is, obviously. But he's a powerful tool, and so. My message to him would be, if I could sit down and talk to him or something like that, would be that he would be the he would be one of the primary persons that would be involved in creating a competitor to YouTube. That's what I think one of the biggest legacies that he could potentially leave after himself is a free speech platform that's truly there for people who do want to get out content, not limiting and truly letting the algorithms go where they go. In other words, letting popular content go where it goes. He is the one who's been hit very hard by those things. He's rarely on trending pages and stuff like that anymore. Of course, he's benefited greatly from YouTube, but he would be the guy. That's why, as you said before, it's good that he's taken kind of a little bit of a route towards DLive, but frankly, they might not be much better. No offense to the fans of DLive or the people there as well, but it might not be a reliable option in the future. And it's only, you know, of course, live streaming right now as well. It's not really a hosting platform. They get deleted after a certain time as well.
It's no comparison for YouTube. Let's get real. The little icon, I don't want to bash it too much, but he definitely needs to use his position and his influence and hopefully mature and like start making a difference and really trying to make the world a better place and talking about things that matter. I think is what he should do. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And I saw some signs of that. He's talking about some books that he likes. He's done some more serious reviews of things. And, you know, I think he, I got really disappointed with any meme review with Ben Shapiro. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
you're lucky that you didn't. What was he? Meme review. He did a whole video with Ben Shapiro anyway. Or Ben Shapiro was hosting a meme review on PewDiePie's channel, I think it was. All right. Anyway, Adam, plug your shit here at the end because people need to know where to go and what to do to get your stuff. But go ahead.
NoMoreNews.org, and that's no as in knowledge. No more news. You can find all the links to YouTube, BitChute, donate, contact page, everything there, all the featured videos. And that's about all. Thanks, everybody, for watching and the support. You keep up the great work, Henrik.
Yeah, thank you. You too, Adam. I really appreciate your time. I want to make sure that people subscribe to your channel. Just passed 110,000 subscribers. And guys out there as well, please support the work of people like Adam, what he's doing and stuff like that. It's so important to have these counterweights. And I mean, we are operating on tiny, tiny resources if you compare it to these giants. Like the ADL, they have millions of dollars. They do fundraisers. They deal and wheel with some of the most mob-like guys you can imagine in the dark, seedy underbellies of the crime world and stuff like that. These dudes, right? They have an impact on the world through their manipulation, through their smearing. They target genuine, nice, upstanding individuals that truly believe in free speech, truly believe in their capacity to criticize political leaders, people who hold sway and influence and power and stuff like that. And without people like Adam, and I hope us in the extension as well, through the work that we do, you won't be able to get that kind of information. You won't get that counterweight. And it's up to you guys out there to support people like us because we don't have these big fundings. We don't have venture capitalists that come in. You know, support Adam on Patreon. Through the donation means that he has on his YouTube channel and on the website, nomorenews.org as well. Sign up for a membership with us, Red Ice members, because it's very important. It helps to keep us going. It helps us to expand. And so it's up to you guys out there, to make this happen for us, Adam. But anything to add to that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, in my view, we really are going toe-to-toe with some of the biggest, baddest people on the planet. And we're the real resistance, the real tip of the spear, not InfoWars. It's people online that are actually willing to tell the truth, and you got to support it or it's going to disappear because the ADL and other groups are doing everything they can to shut it down.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to do some housekeeping here right at the end of the stream, Adam, but I'm going to say bye to you. So thank you so much again for joining me. I really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, man, and we'll talk soon again, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Oh, the wrong angle there. Let me go to that one. There we go. Okay, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I just want to let you know about tomorrow. Then we have Flashback Friday coming up, 5 p.m. Eastern, of course, as usual. Do check it out. Make sure that you tune in live or if you're watching later on redicemembers.com or Red Ice TV, however you're tuning in. We do have a BitChute channel as well. Check the description down below, either if it's on the website or on YouTube or BitChute. We have all the important links and stuff like that. Make sure that you follow us. We can keep up with you and reach you, rather, if and when inevitable disasters occur. So it's very important. I just want to say thank you to everyone who donated, if you will, through the Entropy chat as well. We usually do some streams kind of sporadically over on the DLive channel as well. So if you want to check that out, make sure you follow us over on DLive.tv/RedIceTV. And we take calls and stuff like that too. We didn't have time really to squeeze that in here tonight, but we do take some calls as well. So if you guys want to come in and chat as well a little bit and give us some of your takes on some of these stories, that's a great way to doing that. So definitely make sure you follow us on DLive. All right, guys, thank you so much. Wonderful news here today. Really happy about everything. Thank you to PewDiePie and everyone out there working hard to fight back against these bastards, ladies and gentlemen. So we do appreciate it. All right, boys and girls, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Great having you with us. We'll wrap up for now. Take care and keep fighting.